those mornings where worship needs to continue and where the people of the second service must maybe wait outside or go to another church just for one morning. I'm only joking. Who had a sense of the Lord's presence this morning ministering to your heart? I want to invite you, if you've come into a rhythm or a habit of sitting at the back, but you don't have children, and sometimes you feel people are moving around and you really want to connect, just come to the front. At the back, it's normal. People are moving to toddler rooms. Staff need to do essential functions, and please also use the back for all those purposes as stated. But if you come alone, maybe what you can do is like press into the front, and then there's nothing between you and worship. Amen. It's very practical. After a time in God's presence like that, from here on, I can only mess it up. So I pray that God will will guide me. Father, as we dwell on your word this morning, I pray that you will further the work on our hearts that you've started this morning, drawing us into your presence to be face to face with you. Nose to nose, even a bit uncomfortable, if that's what's needed for us to have a full life in you. Bless us this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. I've been stuck in the Old Testament for a while. Some of you will remember we went through Ivri and Hineni. We've spoke some Hebrew last time I was up here, and I was really praying the last time. Also, as Pastor Andres was just speaking about God's word for us, He's always with us, and from that place, actioning us into coming as servants in His house. Thank you for everyone that signed up last week just to serve somewhere. We've been kept very busy contacting you guys. So thank you very much. And I just see new faces everywhere. It's really amazing. And I'm just praying, and I'm seeing, God is just showing me a lot of us in some of these Old Testament characters. And so I almost sense if we had like a intercession, a sermon, this message might have fit there better, because I want to put something on us that I want us to pray about. I want us to grapple with this in prayer and prophetically about where we are in our walk with the Lord and how He wants to take us forward. I struggled with the title, as always. I'm calling this message "The Fight for Your Life: Lessons from Jacob." You are called, and Jacob was called. There was a moment where God stepped into God's life and Jacob's life, and He would never leave him. But it was not the end of the journey. And I want us to take what was preached the last 2 weeks and marinate it in prayer. Quickly, Jacob is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament, because whenever I read over that passage, I just feel okay with my own mistakes as well. Like, thank you, Lord, for Jacob. And yet you used him so mightily. I just want to give like a one pager on the life of Jacob, and then I'm going to land into one section. His name literally means heel grabber. I mean, how's that? Which is connected to this idea of schemer, or fighting for your place in this world. And when him and his brother Esau was in the womb, there was a fight. And the mother prayed about it. All right, that's where it started for him. And this fight kind of intensified in his life. We can actually relate to that. He deceives his brother for a birthright. So his brother comes home hungry one day. Jacob gives nothing for free. It's like, I've made some food, but how about giving your brother food? No, no, no. There's always a deal. There's always a scheme. And he trades food for a birthright. It also shows you like the foolishness and the rashness and the pace at which Esau moves. But this is not what the sermon is on. Later on, he steps it up And he literally pretends to be Esau so that his father would speak to him and bless him the way the father intended to bless Esau. He becomes a con artist. He puts on the skin of an animal to feel like Esau, to smell like Esau, and one moment his father says, you smell and you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob, but Isaac is also old, and he speaks the words and the blessing to Jacob. Now he needs to run, okay? Because back then, this was like going into your brother's room, you maak sy kluis oop, you vat alles wat syne is, and you jet, you hardloop. He's running for his life. Very importantly, we're going to touch on this. As he runs, deceiving his father and his brother, he's got nothing. God meets him. That's the story of the stairs going up and down from heaven. The angels going up and down, and God is above it, speaking to Jacob. In his weakness, he's a deceiving kind of man. God steps in and says, I want to do relationship with you. It's a very important moment in Jacob's life. But God reveals himself, but Jacob doesn't change decisively at that moment. We're going to come back to this. Jacob goes and work for his uncle in order to marry his uncle's daughter, Rachel. But his uncle schemes against him, give him the other daughter, Leah. And then he needs to work for another 7 years to get Rachel. And so he's a schemer, but there's been heel grabbing happening towards him as well. This is a theme in his life. Now he runs from Laban at one stage because the people in the fields are fighting. God is richly blessing Jacob, which he also schemed his uncle. Some of you will remember the praying by the river and the animals. More of them became Jacob's. Any case, now he runs again for his life. He's running away from Laban, but into his brother Esau. Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever been stuck in a situation where you feel, I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't? Who has ever felt like this? If I do this, this person will hate me. If I do that, that person will hate me. Okay, here's Jacob. But before he meets Esau, he meets God again. Remember, it was the same man that wrestled with God, then the man involved at the ladder. But this is a different encounter. We're going to talk about this. After wrestling with God, he receives a new identity, and he actually finds peace with Esau when he meets Esau. Okay, that's his life. Now, I'm going to read about the wrestling and take it from there. Again, the same night he arose and took his wife. Now you know where he is. He's running from Laban. He's running toward Esau. Listen, all of us, everyone here, is in a season of your life or progressing from the one to the other. It's as simple as that. Every one of you, at this moment, you are crossing over or you have crossed over and continuing until you will cross over again. Right? When Jesus comes back, if he comes back, today, we will all cross over. When we pass on in the natural way, if we die, then we will cross over as well. And so here we have a man moving like we are moving, navigating his world. The same night he arose and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of Yabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream. And everything else that he had, they now moving towards Esau so long. He had a big scheme. I don't want to go into that. He had these people divided into two groups. If Esau broke up in war against the one part of the family, they would die, but the others would be saved. And there was bribes and everything. He was heel grabbing, scheming big time. He took them and sent them across the stream. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, we've learned about God, even in Abraham, that he's the one that tests us. Okay? He's the one that takes us into interaction with him. It's not that God cannot beat Jacob in a wrestling match. Come on, he touches the hip, it's gone. Okay? But as he's contending, he is seeing something in Jacob he's never seen before. He's not going to stop. Sometimes you wrestle with your kids and you're wrestling and you see their eyes. They're coming for you. And when they're young, they can come full out. Sometimes they also get in a shot. You're like, oh, shucks, that's shiny. But you're coming down and you're interacting. God is doing that with Jacob, but Jacob's not stopping. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. Very important. There he blessed him. And so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel or Penuel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Lessons for your life, lessons from Jacob. I want to go back to the ladder quickly. I'm going to give you three things I want you to pray for in this season, considering Jacob. One or two of these thoughts, I remember I was ministering on Jacob's ladder maybe 2 years ago. Who remembers that? Maybe rings a bell. Okay, so some of it will come back, but this is a new one. It's a different word. I want to read for us about the ladder. Okay, we're going to focus on the wrestling, but we're going to go back. Just turn to the person next to you and say, two events. Twee wat geleenthede. Okay. Tell that person the ladder and the wrestling match. Okay. Now, ladder first. Read with me. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land of which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Not reading everything, but then Jacob made a vow. Pay careful attention. If you will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, then I will follow you. It's what he says. We notice a couple of things at the ladder. It's the first occasion. There's a ladder with angels going up and down, showing a connectiveness between God, his agents, and Jacob. But God is standing above the ladder and he's speaking down to Jacob. He says, I'm God. Jacob is asleep. In this moment, Jacob is passive, but God is active. God is reaching into Jacob's life, revealing himself to Jacob. And Jacob, in one sense, gets it, but see what he says. He comes and he makes requests of God. He says, yeah, if you, and we see this if part of Jacob in the rest of his life. He leaves there with a revelation, but he's not transformed yet. It's a very important thing that happens here. I don't want to even move to apply too fast, but in our lives, there's sometimes miraculous and wonderful interventions from God that does not change us. Because it requires a response. It is revelation, not transformation. Some of you would say, I walk into that church and it felt like my heart was leaping out of my chest when that band started to sing. That's great, but what now? Some of you will remember someone came and prayed for me, and I'm not that someone that falls or shakes, but I shook and I fall over. That's great. That's great. What now? Okay, we're going to get to it. Now, let's move to the wrestle. This is very important, these two events. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of a day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. His hip was out of joint. And he said, let me go. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob said, tell me your name. And there God blessed him. Okay, we just covered that. Just touching on it again. Now, When you wrestle with someone, okay, I know some of us, it's been a long while, but in school, have you ever been in a confrontation with someone that ends up on the floor? Like someone's pushing you in the face, and they're like, you know, it happens with our kids, you know? When that happens, a switch het getrip. Okay, dit was woorde geweest, dit was soos, jy, my kosblik vat, jy weet, snoepie geld, gee terug. But when you're on the ground, it's the switch tripped. Okay, it's like now the gala's on, okay? Now, when you wrestle and you're on the floor, jou skoolhem kom uit, jou broek skeer is 'n gemors. It happened on our playgrounds at least a couple of times in my life. It's humility time. You're in the thick of things there. The other thing about wrestling is you will fight. Now, don't think of physical wrestling. Think about conflict. You will tend to fight for that which you love or cherish the most. Family, let me give you one example. These kind of wrestling matches, I have heard it reported has happened before. So, die skoon familie en die skoon seun is nie so lekker nie. And that tension is there. It's just on slow cook. Okay, but it's somewhere on slow cook for 11 years. Nou raak hy ding gaar. And then one Christmas, it's silent and formal above the table, but die is op by die voete begin het gaan. And then the next moment, everyone knows it, no one names it, but then someone finally does. He said, "You have never accepted me in this family." En as aan. What do you mean by that? We've done everything for you. We sorted you guys out with a car. We made sure you had a place. Yeah, but you've always disrespected me. And what has happened is a wrestling match just started in the living room with words. And the reason it got there, you're not entering into that with the Pakistani that sells you chappies down the way. This is family. This actually matters. This touches your marriage, it touches your children, and now it is on. And it's funny, the couple storms up, they run out of the door, in die kar, daar gaan hulle. En is net oupa eet sy vla, want dis net te lekker. And it feels like the family is just ended. It's gone. A lot of things happened next year at the family meeting. The person said, you know what, a year ago I felt like I wasn't that place, but because they wrestled, because they spoke, this is my family. Sometimes we have to wrestle for what we really love. For us to move. Now, listen carefully. At Bethel, there was the ladder. Jacob saw God. But at Peniel, Jacob wrestled with God. He got stuck in with God. He dropped the pretenses and he went for it. And there he blessed him. There's a wordplay there. Peniel means the face of God. So he was facing off with God. Peniel, face of God. He was getting in God's face. Bethel, God was there on the ladder speaking. Stuff was said. Here a relationship was forged. Now, in your life, there will be progression, but you need to allow the Holy Spirit to usher you onwards. If we can go to that next slide, point number one. There will be revelation from God. There needs to be engagement from you in order to experience God's blessing and peace. Okay. Revelation is God showing you who He is. Pastor Andre stepping up, listen up. God is saying, I will never leave you. Don't let it be words. Wrestle it in. He will never leave you. Why do you feel alone? You need to wrestle. He will never leave you. Why are you quickly offended? Because you believe you're alone. Okay, so it's one thing to hear and have it be revealed. Now you need to engage. You need to move from the ladder to wrestling. But there it gets uncomfortable. Because he's going to touch you. We're going to get to that next point. Where you don't like it. But then comes the blessing, the healing in the family, the forging of relationships. Jesus walks the earth, I am he, follow me. What is that? Revelation. One man says, this is too hard for me. He's very sad, he had great possessions, he turned away. Peter said, I will follow you. Revelation given to many, engagement on response only. Blessing after. So what happens is God reveals himself to people, to us. Hey, you hear, he's a good God. He's wonderful. You never engage. You say, I can't believe God let this happen. I don't see God's hand there. But you've never moved beyond engagement. You've never felt him in your life. You have to engage. That's why, I know. Pray about that. Pray about that. Amen. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus came, but then he says, come to me, all who are heavy, or who are burdened and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me. Take something from me. There's engagement. And you will have peace. You will have rest. Revelation can inspire you, but wrestling will change you. Very important. My time's almost up. I just got started. See what I do here. When the man said that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket and Jacob's hip was put out of joint. Okay. Now when the sun rose and he passed, he limped and people could see that. Now, it sounds a bit harsh, but look at what scripture is saying. He blessed him there. Okay. His hip was out of joint, but he blessed him there. The limp that God gives us after engagement is not punishment. It is what? Evidence. Here is a man that wrestled with God. And the people knew about it, and they had they looked at the thigh of animals in terms of eating differently because of evidence that was on a man. Don't think shattering only, think evidence. Hey, I wrestled with God, like a. Okay, that's one thing. I wrestled with God. This thing in my life got changed. Now, something, before I was a pastor, I was a biokineticist. I want to tell you that hip joints are not made for dislocation, okay? Your arm sits in a different way, right? The ball of your humerus sits in a different way into your arm. That's why you can make stuff. Try swinging your leg like this. I know some of you, the dancers, you can do it, but try, okay? Because the arm is made for mobility, but the hip is made for stability and weight bearing. Where does God touch him? On the neck? No. On the shoulder? No. Where does he touch him? At the place of greatest natural strength. Most of you, myself included, came to church because of a weakness or a brokenness. My girlfriend broke up with me. Worship you, Jesus. Okay? I don't have a job. Come. That's fine. Jesus says, come to me. Most of us come to God because of weakness. But I want to tell you something. God is interested in your hip joint. He wants to touch your strength also. My marriage is suffering. I want to come to church, but I'm a great businessman. I don't need God there. You're making a mistake. Where's the evidence of God at your business? Yeah, but that thing is stable. It's going, yeah, that's a point. He touches and engages us, not only where we are weak. He does that, heal us up. But then he touches and engages us on our strong suits. And it leaves what? Evidence that he was here. People, look, what's wrong with you? Why? I've known you for many years. You've never said this. You've never done this. What is that? Evidence of a limp induced by God. Walking with a limp is evidence, not a handicap. Do you have a limp? Ask God whether you've engaged with him fully. And this time, let's pray this through. This town will leave when the church walks with a limp. Evidence. Sometimes it's practical. Sometimes it's someone saying, hey, I was always afraid to say it, but my wife and I really struggles in our marriage, but we've received hope in the way of Christ. You've just revealed the limb, but in saying that, you've just invited 10 people to church that's struggling with the same thing. Our limb is meant for God's glorification. There's a lot in that. Please pray about this because I really need to move on. If you bring your weakness to church but you leave your strength, you're not wrestling yet. The reason why we don't want to wrestle is because if God touches it, it will look different and you like the way the strength looks like right now. Trust Him. Trust Him. Let's go. Almost done. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Look at that lie. I have done as you told me. Sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. Do you understand how sick this man is? I'm not talking about sick in his head. How thirsty he is to hear his dad say, I love you. The scripture says his mom loved him, his dad loved the older brother. He would sit there and know, my dad knows this is not me. But I'll even take those words misdirected. Say, Esau, I love you, and I will take it. Desperate. Your heart and my heart is exactly the same. Why do we keep getting into a relationship with people that can't even make their bed? Why do we keep on going for people that with off wings? We would hear, I love you, from anyone and take it. I didn't mean to put that in there, but I want to tell you, we are the same. Why do I believe a scammer that tells me, if you pay $300,000 to me right now, your hearts want to believe, right? Our hearts are sick to get things right. There's a drought in us. Jacob first saw that from his dad. At the cost of his life, he had to leave his mother that he loved. Probably buried her. That would be the next time I think he saw her. To hear his dad say, I love you. Then he goes to his uncle Laban, and now he's fighting for love. And you know what, after working 7 years, and I remember saying this last time, look at how frustrated this man is. Genesis 29, he tells Laban, listen, now give me my wife that I might go into her. I can imagine a young man arrives at your door, speaks this way to you about your daughter. This guy is frustrated in more than one way. He gets given the wrong woman and he carries on for another 7 years. And so he's wrestling with his dad for love. He's wrestling with his uncle for love, and it will not suffice. We wrestle with our bosses for validation. We wrestle with our spouses to get control. We wrestle with money to get security. We wrestle with church to get approval. Watch out why you serve. This year, serve. Watch out why. Very important. Wrestle with God thoroughly. Serve from love, not for love, or you will get frustrated. No one said thank you. No one told me thank you. Wrestle with God. Be loved. Advance. Amen. Last thing this morning. Skipping that scripture. At Peniel, Jacob's heart received the love it had been seeking his whole life. It was in the grappling and the engagement with God that his heart found the love he was always searching for. Where his heart heard Father God say, I bless you. And he changed. He was transformed, really, after that. God wants to put evidence on you. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Speaking about Jesus. By his wounds you have been healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jacob's hip was crushed And he received the love of God, the love that his heart longed for. But nearly 2,000 years later, Jesus was totally crushed and died. So that we never have to be crushed in that way to hear Father God say, I love you, I call you, and I send you. We learn from Jacob, we put our faith in Jesus. Let's stand this morning. Holy Spirit, you know how to make a little go a long way. I pray that if there's something hearts needed to hear this morning, that that one thing would remain on the heart and that we can be prayerful around this, digesting your word and your will for us. We learn from Jacob, we worship Jesus. The one who not only had a this or that part of his body crushed, but was crushed altogether. Even judgment that fell on his spirit when he stood in the place of the guilty. And so in this room, Jesus, you are our better Jacob. And we honor and worship you this morning. For those who need to get to know you, Jesus, call their names this morning. For those who to whom it has been revealed but have not yet engaged, Holy Spirit, lead them in sanctification and let them be transformed. These are your people which you love. Bless them and keep them. And may your face ever shine on them. This morning, I want to make a simple call. It's 1:45. I'm going to dismiss this meeting, but I want to ask if you need prayer, if you're wrestling through some stuff, we're going to be praying in front while we disperse and make some space for the next service. You are formally dismissed and invited for prayer. Amen. You can go your merry way. Bless you.